Welcome to the I Am Worthy podcast, where we don't believe in choosing between this or that, but instead we are worthy of it all. I am your host, Brittany Noel, and despite being a licensed therapist, I know better than anybody what it's like to struggle with the doubt and fears behind the pursuit of your success in life, love, and your purpose. So join me as I uncover the secrets to becoming unapologetically worthy so that you can have, do, and be all things. Hey, you guys, welcome back to another edition of the I Am Worthy podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in every week. Y'all know me. I am Brittany Noel. I am a therapist. I am a coach. I'm an author. I'm a speaker. But on our podcast, y'all know I am just your friend in this journey as we are all discovering more of ourselves in every area of our lives. And so our conversation today is going to be absolutely no different. I am so excited about the guests I have on the show with me today. If you haven't already, make sure that you like, share, and subscribe to the I Am Worthy channel so that you will get all of my updates as things are rolling out in the next couple of weeks, because we have some excited stuff coming your way. But for today, you guys, listen, my guest, the word stalker is a bit strong, right? But some people, they're so busy, they're so grand, they're so great that you have to wait your turn, okay? You have to wait your turn. You have to get in line. And so that's what I did today. Y'all, welcome to the show, Mr. David Michael Wyatt, international soul singer.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Man, I am so honored to be on the show. Finally, right?
Finally, listen.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you. I'm so honored to be a part of what you're doing. Like, it's amazing. Thank you for the opportunity.
No problem. Thank you for coming. Like, y'all, literally, you know, I tell my audience, I don't believe in the word no.
Yeah.
So until you just tell me absolutely not, I'm going to keep checking in.
Right. And you did. And she definitely did. Definitely did. Which was cool. Yeah.
Every month. I was like, I know you have stuff going on. Okay. Yeah. I saw the commercials. Okay. I saw the Instagram post. I know you have a lot going on.
Yeah.
You guys, if you don't already, make sure that you check out his Instagram, because the man is doing big things.
Yeah.
Beautiful things. And I want to talk to you about that today. Ooh. I have been following you since, I don't know. It had to have been. I saw you on one of Toby's videos.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of the first song I heard that had your voice on it.
It depends what year.
It was during the pandemic for sure, I know.
It was during pandemic? So then it must have been probably Make It Home.
Mm-mm.
No?
Earlier than that.
It was earlier than that?
Earlier than that.
Was it Prosper?
Prosper.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Listen, y'all. I've listened to Prosper, I think, on repeat in the gym, and it was the live version.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I listened to that on repeat and just almost cried in the gym. Just over and over. And just fast forward it to your part specifically. Yeah. Just fast forward to the end. And yeah. I'm just like, your voice is so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Prosper was, I've gotten a lot of response from Prosper, and just anybody that knows Tobe, anybody that knows me, anybody knows the movement, like, mm-hmm. it's what we represent and it's who we are. You know what I'm saying? So I'm singing and he's rapping from a very sincere and authentic place. Mm-hmm. And I think people real recognize real, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So you're able to connect with what I'm connecting to.
Right.
And I think that's what makes it a beautiful situation.
Tell me how this beautiful gift of yours started. When did you know?
Of course.
I got something.
Oh, God. That's a completely different question. So so the gift started, of course, in church, right?
Okay.
I feel like I have the typical African-American mm-hmm. church story.
Upbringing.
You know what I'm saying? Upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I won't say typical, because I do know a lot of people that didn't grow up in church and they're blazing. But my story is, I definitely grew up in church.
Okay.
That's my roots. That's my home. So you hear a lot of it. You feel a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what it is. But it wasn't until, most people don't know this and people trip out when I say it, but it wasn't until I probably turned 18 that I even appreciated my voice.
Really?
Because as a dude, like, here's a real story behind it. Like, as a dude singing high, as a dude, like, not high, at like high pitch,
mm-hmm.
You don't get, I mean, the ladies loved it, but you got a lot of haters that was like, oh my God, you sound like a girl, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. You know what I'm saying? So, and this was even like after puberty. So I'm still got a high pitched voice, still got a very extensive range for a guy. You know what I'm saying? So I really didn't appreciate it until I was 18. I turned 18 and I don't know what came on in my mind. I just remember singing in a service one day. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of fell in love with it. I was like, yo, I can actually do this. I can really sing. So that's kind of what started the real journey.
So I'm curious. So before that moment, what did you think you was going to do for your life? Because was there
you
anything?
You want to know what's funny? I wanted to be an obstetrician gynecologist. Like, I was definitely trying to, very interested, very interested in it, you know, and I used to study it and I thought I was definitely going to college for that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, you ran into the gift.
I ran into the gift.
So before you recognized the gift, what did people tell you about it?
I mean, you hear it. You know what I'm saying? The people be like, oh, you're great. You're good. You know, you got a bright future. You hear mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Right. But until it settled with me, it didn't really start the flourishing process.
I so identify with that.
Yeah.
Because before I knew like what my voice was and yeah. what it does, I definitely took it for granted.
Yeah.
As a therapist, you know, I'm just doing my thing, right? I'm working with people and my clients would always come up to me and like, oh my gosh, like, can I just record you? Can I record what you just said? Can you keep saying it again? I'm like, yeah. girl, just, you know, I just said it, you know? And I didn't understand what they were connecting to in my voice. And I was just like, no, it's just, you know, this is just, anybody can say this.
Yeah.
And accepting that it was like a gift that attracts people, mm-hmm. it was difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because I had a fear of being seen.
Wow. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how people be like, because by nature, mm-hmm. I'm introverted. And I've hidden behind being an introvert. I'm not, I'm cool with not talking to people. I'm cool. But
right, by myself.
By myself. But to have a gift to where you have to stand in front of people, this is what you're supposed to do. Like, it's just kind of like, come on, this is an oxymoron. Like, you, something is messed up here, you know? So, and until you were able to accept it, mm-hmm. just like until I was able to accept it, like the acceptance makes a difference, mm-hmm. you know?
Was the acceptance part easy for you?
I don't think it was, I'm going to say, I feel like the acceptance was a choice. Mm. And that choice started a journey.
Right.
Because it was accepting it at that level. Moving to another level, having to accept it again, and moving to another level and having to accept it again. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
I think the accepting part, I can say it's easy, but I feel like I'm going to say no, because making the decision and deciding this is what it is the hard part. Yeah.
When did you reach that point?
When I was 18, at one point, I remember I have defining moments in my life when I feel like when I was 18, I had one of those moments. When I was in college, I had another one.
Okay.
And a college was the big one for me because, like I said, I was a church kid. All I knew was church. I was still singing gospel music when I got to college. When I got to college, I was introduced, not necessarily introduced to it, but I started singing it. I'm singing R&B. I'm singing all kind of genres. I went to Berklee College of Music. So okay. It was just open to whatever was there and whatever they wanted you to do. So being able to see what my defining moment was, I started seeing people's response to my gift and me authentically being myself.
Mm.
And it opened my eyes to a different world. Like, it opened my eyes that, number one, it opened my eyes that, yo, there's life outside of church. Like, you can do this outside of the four walls of the church. And that's not to shade or any church, because I love church, but I understand that my gift, my call was to be outside of four walls of church. So that was another defining moment for me. And then after that, I had to go through another defining moment of saying, okay, you gotta just step outside these four walls, mm-hmm. because I was still trying to hold on. My real story is I went through Sunday Best.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Most people don't know it because I don't talk about it.
I don't talk about it. That's why.
I don't talk about it.
Okay, so you went to Sunday Best.
I went through Sunday Best, and after Sunday Best was when that third defining moment came in my life. And as soon as I said, that's not who I am. Not saying that I'm not a believer, not saying any of that, but as far as what I'm called to sing about and all that kind of stuff, it wasn't that. And when I made that decision, Letticy called me. And so it was those type of
yes
type of things that just kind of started. Once you make that yes, if you yes. can get to that yes, then on the other side of that yes is beautiful thing.
And I have learned and I'm still learning that in order for me to fully embrace my gift and what I'm called to be and do,
yeah.
I had to take the parameters off. Like I was still, even when I said, oh, I'm a coach, I was like, okay, I'm gonna act like a coach. I'm gonna think like a coach. I'm gonna do what other coaches. I'm gonna do everything right. that I don't really do.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to make it fit into a box of what I think is acceptable or what people can digest.
Yeah.
And in the process of that, I was completely watering down.
Absolutely.
What I do authentically.
Come on, yo, that's real talk.
Like
that is facts on facts on facts. Like I feel like that's where people miss the ball because. Especially nowadays, like you have Instagram, you got Facebook, you got Twitter, you got all these different mirrors.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That people are looking into and they're wrong mirrors. Like you can be influenced by somebody, you can be inspired by somebody, but there's only one you.
True.
There is only one you. And for you to try to mimic what they do, you watering yourself down and you put the parameters on it. And it may not look the way that you think it's supposed to look or the way that you're seeing. This is what it is. This is what coaches do. This is what singers do. I'm supposed to sing like this because this singer is popular, but this
exactly.
one is, you know what I'm saying?
No. That's what's popping. That's what's trending.
Exactly.
And I remember even having a meeting with a marketing person about, you know, how I market myself and how I put myself out there. And she was like, you know, you need to do this, that, and the other. And I was like, that's not me though.
Yeah.
But that's not me. And I yeah. remember like, that was one of my moments where I was like, okay, what are we going to do? Because yeah. if they're telling you to be successful, you have to be this way, but you know that's not you.
Exactly.
And I made the decision. I would rather honor my gift and honor myself by just being me, and who I attract is who I attract yeah. at that point.
And that's the beautiful thing. And I think that's the part of the story that people don't tell is you being authentic to who you are.
Right.
People will be attracted to that. And the people that you are supposed to attract will come.
Listen. I have learned that, especially it has become way more true in the last year.
Yeah.
In a year that most people would think is going to hit, especially professionally, hit you hard and slow you down.
Yeah.
I think that the silence that the pandemic gave a lot of us gave us time and room to really hear our own voices, hear our own thoughts, and say what sticks and what doesn't. Is this me? Is this not me?
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, especially a lot of the clients I'm working with, one of the biggest things my clients are asking me is about purpose, finding their purpose,
yeah.
honing their gifts. And I really help them with that process of coming out of hiding.
Okay.
So in terms of stepping into a place where I accept my gift, I accept it for what it is, I'm ready now to show it to the world.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Woo. It's scary, man. It's scary. I tell people, I always use the analogy of it's like having a baby.
It's like
showing your baby to the world. You don't want nobody to be like, that's a baby.
That's your baby?
That's a baby. We all right. You know, but you want people to appreciate your baby and understand the beauty of your baby and all that kind of stuff. So it's a very scary place. But what it looks like for each individual, of course, is different.
Right.
But I feel like those foundational principles are the same. And those principles are being consistent in it.
Mm-hmm.
Being consistently. I have a friend. He always tell me, just always show up.
Right.
Always show up. And it wasn't like I would be like, okay, I'm here. You know what I'm saying? But you always showing up is those are two different things because I can be in a room, but not be in a room.
But not be in a room.
You know, so always show up, meaning I'm present. I'm here. I'm attentive. I'm understanding what's going on. I'm feeling what's going on. And once you allow yourself those spaces, you can see how it progresses and how it grows. Mm-hmm. And being consistent in that is right. extremely key. And really just going and taking those L's, because you go have some L's. You know what I'm saying? You go have some fails. You're going to be trash some days. You know
right.
what I'm saying? But it comes with it, and it comes with the building process of it.
Mm-hmm.
Another person that I can just point out is, of course, because everybody knows her, is Beyonce. We grew up with Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
We watched her from, yo, you sound cute right here, but now you, oh, girl, you like
right.
killing. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And you can see the progress of her career.
Absolutely.
You can see the progress of her artistry. You can see the progress of her person.
Right.
And we miss that kind of stuff. Because we think, oh, if I do this, it's going to happen tomorrow. And no, that's not true.
And we focus on the end result.
Yep.
Like I have this huge image vision, dream of what I know I will accomplish and what I will look like once my gift is just, you know, because even I speak, like, I'm to the point where now I can give myself credit. Like, okay, you speak well. Like, I've seen enough evidence at this point where I'm like, okay, yeah, you got it, right? No. Didn't always feel that way. And I always help my clients understand, like, before I heard myself speak as well as I do now, I dreamed about it.
Wow.
Like, I would hear my voice in my head and I would wake up like, that's not what I sound like. Yeah. So it's like, I know what it's like to chase this version of you that mm-hmm. you know is there.
Yeah.
You just haven't evolved into it yet.
Ooh-wee. Yeah.
So that journey is like, it's tough having a gift that hasn't fully evolved.
Right.
And only you know what it's capable of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you have to wake up every day in that journey and be consistent.
Yeah. And I think as and this ain't deep. I'm not trying to be deep, rather, but I really feel like that's it's called cultivating the gift. And it's called learning the gift, becoming one with the gift, whatever that gift is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in everybody's life, there are days, moments, situations where you have glimpses. Is glimpses a word?
Mm-hmm.
Where you get a glimpse of hope. You know what I'm saying? In those days. And to me, that's food.
Mm.
So if I can continue to get those glimpses of hope to where I see, all right, we're on the right track. We're moving in the right direction as my gift is evolving.
Right.
Then I know ultimately 5 years down the road, I'm going to look back and be like, yo, I remember when. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like, and I'm just say it as plainly put, I feel like God gives us food for the day,
right?
Hope for the day to be able to progress and move and allow your gift to evolve and you be sustained and satisfied as you reach and press. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's a real thing, you know, and we don't always trust the process. That's exactly all I'm saying. Trusting a process is what's important.
Right.
And we don't always do that because, like you said, we want it right now.
Mm-hmm. And I have learned that it's trusting the process, but also trusting yourself through the process.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I remember when I gave God my yes. So like, fine, I'm going to do this. You want me to do this? I'm going to do it. Because I have a good government job. I don't have to do this.
Listen,
I'm good. Yeah. I had technically achieved the dream that I thought my life was going to be. And I was like, great, I'm going to retire from here. All I got to do is climb the corporate ladder. We're good. God was like, no, not really.
Wow.
Like, and so I had to step out of that and see myself
doing
something that I never even considered would be an option.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I would always say, I trust God. I don't trust me.
Mm.
Like, will I be able to sustain in this journey?
Yeah.
Knowing that this evolution is going to be difficult. Like, I don't want to keep growing all the time.
Right. Right.
Right. And because growing means I have to confront parts of myself to be better.
Yeah.
And so that's the tough part about the evolution is constantly critiquing, changing, morphing into whatever version of you that moment requires.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
That's good, man. Yeah, absolutely.
What did that look like for you as you have been in this journey for a while now? Was it always a loving journey for you?
Heck no. No, it was not a loving journey. It's grueling at times. You know what I'm saying? And it does. It becomes difficult because there are days where you're just like, man, I don't even feel like it. I don't want to do it. Or yesterday I tried that. It didn't work. You know, and there are those days of just mm-hmm. disappointment. So it's not really a beautiful process.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at it. Some people look at it as beautiful, but I don't feel like it's a beautiful process. I feel like it's an ugly process that's leading to a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. The destination is beautiful.
Yeah, the destination is beautiful. So for me, it does. It looked like, all right, David, let's sit down. Let's map out this week. What are we going to do? What does this look like? All right. And just figuring it out and pushing past fears. Because that's a hard thing. Like, even, you know what I'm saying? Like, just being afraid of what people think is really what people are afraid of. Being afraid of what people think and being afraid of failing.
Mm.
So being able to push past those things is not always mentally easy.
What helped you in overcoming that fear of what people think? Because being a singer is all about
what people think. Yo, I'll be trying to get people to understand. Yeah, it is. What helped me overcome it is becoming comfortable with myself,
mm-hmm.
becoming comfortable with the fact of I'm a reach who I'm a reach. And that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to reach who I'm going to reach. I started understanding, this has been actually recent in my life that I started feeling like I've started understanding what my gift represents and what type of gift I have and the purpose of my gift, because I feel like my voice is the vehicle, but it's leading to a specific place for people. Right. And for me, I've learned and I'm starting to see more and more that it's a place of peace. Mm. It's a place of healing. It's a place of, you know what I'm saying? People say all the time, oh, you give me goosebumps. Oh, you made me, I was about to cry. You know what I'm saying?
In tears.
Because I'm starting to learn. And the crazy thing, let me finish my sentence. I'm starting to learn that that's the power of the gift that I have.
Right.
Everybody's gift is different.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you can sing, you being able to sing is great. But what's the purpose of
what
you being able to
purpose?
Sing? You know what I'm saying? So now that I'm learning the purpose of why I sing is things are changing for me.
Mm.
My perspective is changing. So now it's easy. And now I know what songs to sing. Now I know what songs I'm not going to sing. Now I know what artists I'm going to collab with, never would collab with. You know what
I'm
saying?
Right.
So things just become so much more clear when you know that and when you understand those things.
Talk to me about, because you said understanding the why of your gift.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everybody has a gift, right? I'm going to stick with singers. You can scroll down Instagram any given day and fall on any singer. That's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be absolutely amazing, but understanding the why and the purpose behind your gift. For me, like I said, I've learned that what my voice do for people is it provides a space of reflection.
Right.
It provides a space of healing. It provides a space of what I feel like is peace.
Mm-hmm.
To me, summed up as Velvet Vibes. That's what I call it. You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
I love the Velvet Vibes.
I call it Velvet Vibes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it kind of sums up for me. So that becomes a why I sing, because now I know how. And in learning the why, I learn how to reach that place.
Absolutely.
I learn how to reach that place inwardly so that what I feel inwardly, you can feel, or I can project outwardly.
Right.
I feel like that's a lot. That's a lot. And most people might not be able to understand. Let me see if I can find a different way.
No, I definitely get it, because it's like everybody has something about them that is unique,
yes.
that is powerful,
yes.
right? But it's like having a toolbox. I can pick up a hammer, you know, to put a nail in the wall the same way I can pick up a screwdriver and put the nail in the wall.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why the hammer works better.
Yes. See, listen.
Right? And so when you understand why my gift is what it is.
That's good. See, this is why you call to talk like this. That's great. That's so good.
But, you know, and what I have learned, and this could be, you know, my therapy background, but your gift many times is wrapped up in your story of who you are. Like I'm gifted at how I speak. When the most passionate topics I will ever speak on are topics that I live.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So it's like my background is what qualified me to move into my gift as powerful and as freely as I do.
Yeah.
So the hard part about that is teaching people how to see their background in the right perspective.
That's good.
What would you say is your biggest fear that you had to confront?
The biggest fears that I've had to confront is my story. I feel like, because being able to tell a story and I haven't even jumped into the life of my story like I'm about to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I had to get to a point of being comfortable jumping in that life.
Yeah.
Because it's not a beautiful thing. Like, it's my story. It's a part of who I am. So there's a vulnerable, broken, very tender place when you start talking about this story. Now, mm-hmm. it could be passionate to me because I can see the victory.
Right.
But it still is kind of like, hey, man, that's...
Do I want the world to know?
Yeah. Like, I'm cool with y'all just knowing I can sing. You know? Like, that's...
I don't want to tell my story.
I don't want to tell my story.
Mm.
But that's what separates the men from the boys. You know, being able to tell your story and to being able to share your triumphs and mm-hmm. your victories so that you can help somebody.
Right. My... success, especially in my coaching, my business, didn't come until I was willing to tell my story.
Yeah.
Because I hid. I was like, I ain't telling nobody. You don't need to know this about me. Just let me show you about you, okay? Right. But yeah. You don't need
let
to know
me
this
my
about
song
me.
And I'm good. Yeah, absolutely.
But I think what it is seeing yourself in it is why people gravitate towards the gift. Because I'm telling you, when I listen to, you know, any heartbreak song by Jennifer Hudson, you know, Fantasia, okay, I go to some places, right? And it's because it's like they're singing and expressing exactly what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
So that pushes people, pushes your tribe towards you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you're going to write a book about...
Ooh. Moving me too fast, Britt. You're moving me too fast. I do know. And my wife and I, we talk about it all the time. Shout out to my wife. What's up, babe? How you doing? But we talk about it all the time, how it definitely will, it will come a time to where I just have to share it.
Yeah.
And I'll share it in peaks in spaces where I feel comfortable, you know? So a book may be on the table, you know, I haven't really thought about a book, but, I do want to be able to articulate it in my music because I know that my story is not just for me.
Right.
You know, I do know that there are other people who have experienced pieces, maybe not my exact story, but pieces of my story. And having to deal with all of it and being able to overcome it, you know?
I have a lot of my clients are singers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Aspiring where some are, you know, still posting stuff on Instagram.
Yeah.
Looking to do bigger projects in bigger ways and express their gifts in bigger ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, with any process, when you're not confident in what you do, you get in your own way, right?
Absolutely.
Procrastinating, not following through, not executing.
Yeah.
What would you say to the people who are in that space? Because they're going to look at you right now and be like, man, I just want to get to where he is, right? What would you tell them about that getting to that place where they do feel as confident as you feel with where you are?
I think confidence comes with doing it. And that's easier said than done. So it's two part for me. So I think confidence comes with just doing it consistently. Mm-hmm. And continuing to, like I said, you go have L's, you're gonna fail. Everybody is not gonna like it. You know what I'm saying? But you have to be okay with that. And you have to learn how to adjust and understand that it ain't about you in the first place.
Ain't about you.
It's not about you. Your gift is a gift. And your gift wasn't given for you. Your gift was to give away. That's what you do with gifts. You give a gift to somebody. So I think that's what you have to understand. It's the picture is so much bigger than what we what we feel like or what we know or what we see or how we our emotions or how somebody or something somebody said, posted, didn't say or whatever make us feel. It's so much bigger than that. So you have to understand and be comfortable with, hey, this is not about me, but it's for somebody.
It's for somebody.
Yeah.
I know that, but when you said it, like it just, your gift is supposed to be a gift for other people. And I do think that we make the gift about us.
Yeah.
And most importantly, what we think we're not.
Yeah. Man, yeah.
And
so
we just don't show the gift.
You don't show the gift. And you just hide it. You hide the gift and you do away with it. And instead of allowing your gift to be a gift and those who appreciate your gift can tell you, thank you for your gift. We appreciate your gift. I needed your gift. Thank you. Whatever the case may be. And allowing your gift to multiply it. Like that's important. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, give it away. Give it away.
And when you reach this place where you're seeing yourself on BT.
Yeah.
Every other major network you can think of. Was it Nike? And I was just like.
Did we do something with Nike? Apple? We did Apple.
Apple,
yeah.
I think I cried on that one too. When I saw the commercial, I was just like. Like I was touched, not because I've heard the song before by the time I saw the commercial, but I was just like, when I tell it lit a fire for me, because I was like, when I see people like you guys, it's I always there's certain I call them giants that I look up to, where I see people who are not out of reach of me and where I come from and my background. And I can look and say, if they did that, if they did that, you can do it. Like, it takes away every excuse I have
yeah.
and every reason that I have to say, oh, well, you'll be successful, but just not that successful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when I see you guys break a ceiling, it's like, okay, now what's your excuse?
And that's good. That's inspiring. That's inspiring for us to hear, because that's one of the reasons why we do it, you know, and it just trickles down, because now somebody looking at Brittany saying, hey, if she can do it, I can do this too. You
right.
know, and that's how we're supposed to be. That's how gifts work. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. And I want to ask you, because as you seeing yourself on the screen,
mm-hmm.
right, moving into to this new phase of your life.
Yes.
Right. What does it feel like to see yourself in that arena where before it was like?
Oh, man. In the moment, you know what I'm saying? It's not. I don't want to say it's not a big deal, because it is a big deal and you appreciate it. But it's not until later you look back and be like, oh, that's me. I wrote this down somewhere. Let me see that I would be doing this in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those moments that you find the appreciation and the gratefulness
mm-hmm.
of being able to do it. So, yeah, like, of course, I feel like everybody, I'm my biggest critic, you know? So I'm looking at myself and be like, hey, you slouching. Hold on, let me fix yourself. You know what I'm saying? Fix yourself, bro. You know, why you go that way? You should have went this way, you know, and stuff like that. But you have to just kind of let the chips fall where they may and show up.
Because yeah, nobody ever notices that.
Yeah.
No one ever. My videographer tells me all the time, I'm like, man, we should have did this. She's like, it's really not a big deal. You're making it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that's definitely where I'm at now, where it's like, I know that my gift has been prepared to go on a larger
yeah.
scale and a larger yeah. arena. And, you know, those same butterflies I feel when I'm like, okay, I can feel it getting closer. And
yeah.
it's like, I'm excited, afraid, nervous.
But what's going to happen, though, is preparation is just what that is. So when you on the stage, subconsciously, your body, your mind, your gift, your thought process, just
mm-hmm.
it works. It works because you've mastered you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the key of it, mastering you
mm.
and allowing God to put you wherever he wants to put you, because
right.
he knows that you've mastered you. So you will work here, you will work here, you will work here.
Mm.
And whatever those stages, whatever those levels look like, we looking at them like, yo, such and such been on this stage. Like, oh man, are you serious? But you belong in the room. You belong in the room.
You belong in the room.
Yeah. My wife tells me that every time I get ready to walk out the house and I got something to do, she say, hey, remember, you belong in the room. And that thing just sticks and clicks with me, because it's true. You belong in the room, and mastering you and understanding who you are, the purpose of your gift and what you have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
You belong in the room.
Right. And that is so true, because I think sometimes, especially like when you've been singing since, you know,
yeah.
you could sing,
yeah.
you know, you sometimes can minimize when you're not clear about the why and what it does and how powerful it is. You will minimize it and think, oh, it's just, you know, I'm just somebody else who sings.
Right.
Not realizing that when I come to the table and I'm bringing this thing with me, like, it's a force.
Yeah. 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 That's true.
And that goes with being worthy and understanding that I'm worthy of the gift.
Come on.
Like, if I have it, and I had to just accept that. Like,
yeah.
I fought it. I was like,
yeah. Cherish it, man. Cherish it, hone it, prepare,
mm-hmm.
take care of it, caress it, whatever you need to do. And I say that jokingly, but whatever it is that's going to sharpen that gift
mm-hmm.
in your life, whatever your gift is, for
yeah.
me, I'm going to try to study other singers. I'm going to listen. I'm going to try to feel what I'm doing, you know, and I'm going to try to stay on top of what it is, stay as current and modern or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But all those things are just steps to whatever stage you see and feel like you called to. So when you get there, yo, you ready. Butterflies
ready.
And all, you good.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I know June is Men's Health Month.
Nice. Yes.
He's like, I didn't know that.
I thought you was about to say Juneteenth.
Sorry, all right. Yes. Well, Juneteenth is next weekend.
Yes, it is. It is.
But it's Men's Health Month. Okay. Right. Are you an advocate for men in mental health going to therapy?
Absolutely. Go talk to somebody. Like, I'm very strong. I go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I do totally believe in therapy. I feel like just across the board, period. Mm-hmm. But of course, with African-American men, we, you know what I'm saying? We drink water and go to work. You know what I'm saying? That's our fix. That's what we do. I'm going to work. I'm paying these bills. But we deal with so much and we pass so much down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it became really real to me once I had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I started realizing that I was projecting the fears that I grew up with on my son. So once I started seeing, like, I'm looking at this boy one way and this ain't even what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what it really is. So I'm afraid for him because I'm afraid, and he just living his free little life,
right?
So it wasn't until I started realizing those things that I was like, yo, I really need to consistently probably go, like, be able to dump this, talk this out, and making sure that I'm seeing and understanding correctly. So yeah, I believe in it wholeheartedly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Before I was coaching with the women I work with now, I work exclusively with men for mm-hmm. 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that
was intentional?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I was working specifically with men who struggle with PTSD
okay.
and combat veterans.
Oh, wow. You real deal. Like you gets on in there.
We get in there. We get in there.
Yeah.
And that's what I love doing. But I saw it really gave me a different lens to the issues that men struggle with
mm-hmm.
and why they struggle with them.
Yeah.
Because it is definitely different, women and men, how we process information, how we deal with stuff,
mm-hmm.
How we express or don't express
right.
what's going on with us. So I'm always pushing for men to go to therapy,
yeah,
get it right,
yeah.
and figure it out. Because it's what you said is very real. It's like I always see the trickle down.
Yeah.
Like what you don't do. You're going to teach that to the next generation.
Yeah.
And are you giving them tools?
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Very good. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Now, absolutely. I know that you have some very big things coming up.
I do. We are out here working, man. We're working. So I just finished the EP, which I'm extremely, extremely excited about this particular
okay.
project.
What's it called?
Ah, see, bro, you asking too many questions.
I'm trying to figure out where I'm gonna go get this album that's gonna have me Friday nights.
Listen,
with my glass of wine and tears. So I'm trying to figure
thing.
Out.
So here's the thing. So this particular EP, it's really special.
Mm-hmm.
It's special, and the direction and what we did with this particular EP is everybody. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people know me from my work with Toby.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was I took those songs. Basically mm-hmm. all the songs that I've kind of featured on for the most part
mm-hmm.
And made them into David Michael Wyatt song. So I'm so excited about it and for
you're
everybody
have me
to
in
hear
tears.
And it's live, like we did like a live feel on it, acoustic stripped down, which is my vein all day long. So yeah, I'm excited for people to hear. So stay tuned because it's coming soon.
Oh
hey, stay
my
tuned because it's coming soon.
I'm going to be in tears.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like thinking of all the songs and I'm like, it's going to be, like, I'm going yeah. through my mind. Like, okay, that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me get, okay.
Right. It's going to be fun.
So where can the people follow you?
Absolutely. You can connect with me. Any social media platform is my name, David Michael Wyatt, DavidMichaelWyatt. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think that's all I got. Yeah.
So okay.
I'll let your boy. I talk back too. You know what I'm saying?
He does. Listen, when he responded to my DM, I was like, this is amazing.
I try to. I tell people all the time, if I see it, then I'll respond. Like some of them I don't see. But if I do see it, I will respond.
See, and I remember the very, 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 very first is when I found you, I remember posting a story and I was like, oh, my new favorite singer. And then you shared it.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're gonna be friends. We're going to be friends.
Yo, I love it. Let's go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm like, I'm going to go find that, see how long ago, because that's how long he been dodging me about this interview. Yo. But no, I thank you and I appreciate you so much for coming on the show, because you have said a lot that I know a lot of people are going to identify with, and it's going to help a lot of people. So I appreciate you so much.
No doubt. I appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, this has been another episode of the I Am Worthy podcast. Leave a comment below and tell me how this conversation helped you, because I know a lot of you have huge gifts that you are ready to broadcast to the world. And I'm so excited about what's about to come next for you. So comment below and let me know what you plan to do and how you plan to project your gift into the world. Until our next episode, I'll talk to you guys later.